Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, it's going to be sunny with a high close to the mid-40s. In Kenosha right now, it is 30 degrees, 27 in Burlington, 32 in Milwaukee. It's 30 at this hour in Racine. Several current and former lawmakers, other government officials, family, friends, supporters, they were all there last night at Racine's Common Council Chambers for the swearing-in ceremony of Corey Mason as the new mayor of Racine. He took the oath of office from U.S. District Court Judge Lynn Edelman. During his comments, Mayor Mason said that he'll be fighting for the city's public schools, and he promised that Racine will be an inclusive and welcoming city.
One that acknowledges that almost all of us have an immigrant story. Our community was built by immigrants. By Gilbert Knapp, by J.I. Case. Successive waves of immigrants brought their know-how and ambition to achieve the American dream right here in Racine that made us one of the most innovative and successful manufacturing towns in America.
Just hours before being sworn in, Corey Mason sent his letter of resignation from the State Assembly to Governor Walker. It'll be effective January 15th. Governor Walker has now scheduled a special election for January the 16th. Once Mason was seated as the new mayor, the Common Council voted to restore Dennis Weiser as the alderman of the 10th District, also returning him as Council President. During Weiser's term as interim mayor, Alderman Q.A. Shakur, the chairman of the Finance Committee, was elevated to the Council Presidency. Something kind of unusual happened with the mayor's report of nominations to reappoint members of the Waterworks and Wastewater Commissions. This is from Mayor Weiser. The Council rejected them on an 8-6 vote. Alderman John Tate II began a movement by questioning if the new mayor maybe shouldn't have the chance to find a more diverse group of nominees.
I do have a concern with kind of appointments in general as it works with this city. You know, we're renewing all of these positions and not really rotating any new people out, and I have a concern with that because we have a problem in the city in general with who gets appointed to what commissions, and it often does not reflect the diversity of this city. And if I look at these correctly, you know, I hate to say it, but the majority of these appointments are older white men, and I'm kind of tired of seeing that.
Alderman Terry McCarthy was one of the names on the list, pointing out the city would lack representation for upcoming meetings, or there wouldn't be a quorum to conduct business. The council unanimously accepted an alternative 3-month approval to the reappointments. Mayor Mason urged to come up with names more reflective of the city's diverse population. Two special elections held yesterday in different parts of Racine County on what was an off-election year first Tuesday in November. Village of Waterford, Brent Hess chosen to fill the vacancy on the Board of Trustees when Jim Schneider was elected village president back in April. Hess getting 68 votes, 47 for Troy McReynolds and 37 for Eric Vogel. In the Union Grove High School District, the voters narrowly approving a $7.85 million facilities improvement and creation referendum. Final vote was 789 in favor, 728 opposed. Last night, the Racine County Board debated an amendment to the proposed 2018 county budget that shifted $100,000 out of the $200,000 proposed to buy emergency generators and putting it toward paving projects in various parks. Supervisor Bob Gross said it's hard to be everything to everybody, but he could support the amendment to also help the parks, noting that Quarry Lake Park may need some extra special attention for an event next year.
Funds also need to be used in the parks that the county owns that are in somewhat disrepair, mainly a quarry, especially talking about a triathlon event coming here in 2018. We need to spiffer up a little bit, so I would fully support this amendment.
County Finance Director Alex Tillman pointing out the funding is intended for both large and small generators. Supervisor Tom Hintz, after the 12-6 vote favoring the amendment, then eventually the unanimous vote on the budget, well, he suggested the money proposed for supervisory salary increases could maybe do more good buying generators. County Board will be voting on the budget levy next week. Kenosha County Board tonight going to meet to debate and adopt the proposed budget for next year. First reading of that last night with Finance Committee Chairman Terry Rose doing an overview of the highlights of the budget. Calls it a lean spending plan. He notes it will include several capital expenditures.
We're going to see some increases in capital spending and information technology, the facilities division, highways, parks, sheriff's department, and also the high impact fund replenishment for future economic development.
The public hearing last night drawing mostly people talking about the county's relationship with Kemper Center. Ann Morelli owns Morelli's Deli Catering, urged the supervisors keep their support of the county park.
The facility needs every penny that can be spared. I've been catering there for 3 years. I serve Kiwanis and Rotary weekly, and I also have served some people for weddings and other types of events. I really sincerely believe that every penny is well spent, and it's a benefit to the neighborhood and to the county.
Under the budget as it currently stands, the tax levy would go up 7.24%. That would mean the taxes on a home in Kenosha County valued at $100,000 would be increasing just under $2. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave to hold his next listening session later today for the folks in the town of Burlington. It'll be at the Western Racine County Service Center building on North Main Street in the city of Burlington. Delagrave to meet with the residents there starting at 4 p.m. Development of a public library and what would be involved with all that, part of a presentation to the Sturtevant Village Board last night. Study was funded by the Racine Public Library Foundation, done by the firm Library Strategies, for possible library models given to village trustees. Principal consultant Karen Rose telling them that they found that 20% of the folks in Sturtevant are considered active library users, which she said is actually pretty low.
You look at those numbers and you could suggest a whole bunch of reasons why that is. Like I just said, it only gets service 4 hours a week in Sturtevant. You're the furthest away from Racine, further away than Mount Pleasant. So there's a lot of potential reasons for those numbers varying a little bit like that.
Consultant Melissa Brichon warned that there's no such thing as a pop-up library, one that pops up out of nowhere.
You start today and start making some decisions, it's going to be a good 4, 5, 6, 7 years before a library is established. It takes time. There's very stringent rules and regulations through the state of Wisconsin about how you do that and working with a lot of public entities.
The 4 possible scenarios include a full-service facility run by the Racine Public Library. Full-service library, by the way, costs between the estimated $4 and $7 million. Could be an independent village library, a joint operation facility, or a link or express library involving a site where you drop books off and you pick them up. City of Racine taxpayers going to save over $300,000 with a $19.1 million refunding resolution that the Racine Common Council backed last night through its bond council. That's between now and the year 2031. John Mahon of Robert W. Baird said that the bonds issued in 2008 and 2011 are being refunded because of low interest rates and the pending tax reform bill in Washington.
What we're experiencing is a concern that going forward, there won't be the number of municipal bond issues in the marketplace. Advanced refundings, private activity bonds, 501c3 bonds, 501c3 bonds are all subject to possibly not being eligible starting January 1 of 2018.
Said the savings would be almost $100,000 more than projected to the Finance Committee last month. The Council and Racine approving the 2018 General Fund and Capital Improvement Budgets without discussion. Same thing, no comment regarding the police union contract that was approved, as was the decision not to renew the liquor license for the Riverside Inn, a move that could prompt some legal action by the applicant, as suggested by his attorney during the due process hearing. As the national opioid epidemic continues to strain resources at all levels of government, the Kenosha County Board last night approving an agreement with some law firms to investigate possible lawsuits against several pharmaceutical companies. Corporation Counsel Joseph Cardamone telling the supervisors it's a letter of engagement, that these lawsuits are being filed all over the country, and that the agreement just gives Kenosha County a seat at the table.
It was the opinion of the Corporation Counsel's office that there was really no downside to getting involved. We would be able to terminate the letter of engagement if we chose to. We would be able to pull out of our suit if that was what was determined to be the appropriate action.
Resolution was adopted by the Kenosha County Board 18-3. And in Pleasant Prairie, police say they may be close to resolving a 6-month-old missing persons case for which they say foul play is not suspected. 41-year-old Michael Wyatt, last seen by family members June the 7th, left home, no wallet, credit cards, keys, vehicle. Search for him has been ongoing. Within the past week, a cadaver dog got a hit at a pond in a secluded area near the family's home off 47th Avenue by the state line. Search crews, including a dive team, returning to the area this week. WRJN.com. That's our webpage, and that's where we keep our newscasts in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karko, WRJN News.